You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, I'm really fortunate to be able to share the stories, the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders, large and small, with you, the listener. And this week, it's going to be a really, really exciting one. So we are going to be talking about how not to burn out. And to do that, we're joined by two amazing local experts. So Melanie Cheeseman of the Cotswold Leadership Academy and also Nikki Burge of Breakout HR. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to introducing our two experts after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Hopefully you enjoyed that song. Today we're talking about how not to burn out. And to do that, we're joined by two great local experts who do a lot of work together, who are Melanie Cheeseman of the Cotswold Leadership Academy and also Nikki Burge of Breakout HR. So for those who don't know our guests, let's introduce them. So Melanie, for those who don't know you, please introduce yourself and indeed your business.
Yes, so as you said, I'm a founder of the Cotswold Leadership Academy. I'm a positive psychology informed coach and a workshop facilitator, former managing director of a very, very fast paced, chaotic SME. I work with people, not on their business. I blend evidence based practices with a model that I've conceptualized called a performance acceleration framework, which essentially looks at three dimensions of a human, which is their well-being, their mindset, and their impact. And that, in a nutshell, is what I do.
Amazing. And second but not least, Nikki, talk to those listening at home all about you and indeed Breakout HR.
Thank you. I'm Nikki from Breakout HR, as you say. So I'm essentially a HR consultant helping SMEs of all sizes with their people needs. So I think whether you've got one employee or 200 employees, looking after your people is paramount. I think people think I'll call HR when there's a problem, but actually there's so many great proactive things that you can do to look after your people. So I like to support with really good pragmatic advice, not, no, you can't do this or you can't do that. It's, you can do these things, but this is why you might think about doing something differently. So I like to be really practical, get to know my businesses and create really good relationships, supporting them with anything people related.
Amazing, amazing. And look forward to talking more about both of your businesses and indeed your expertise over the rest of the show. You are both needing to be a radio DJ just for a moment on the radio. So we're going to start with you first, Melanie. You've kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
I've gone for Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror. I'd like to dedicate it to an Oxford resident, a very good friend of mine, Beverly Harry, who's just the most incredible human being and has inspired me on so many different levels. And she once performed this while we were warming up for a dance class back in the 1987, to the entire studio with a hairbrush. And I've never forgotten this moment, so it just feels right, given that this is Oxford, I dedicate that to her.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that great song chosen by Melanie, and hopefully there were more than one of you with your hairbrush singing along. We've heard about our two experts this morning. And if you are just tuning in, we're talking about how not to burn out. But I'm sure we're going to be talking about lots of coaching and people and HR and people stuff, I'm sure, over the next three sections. So Nikki, I'm really keen to start with you with quite a big section. So one of the things you touched on in your intro is about looking after people. So I'm going to start with a really broad question, which I'm sure you can't answer with a sentence. How do you best look after your people?
Great question. And yeah, it probably is a really big answer. You could start with the basics. So I know it sounds really boring, but having the right structures in place so that people know where to go if they've got a problem. So we talk about policies and procedures, and that they're really boring and uninteresting, but they do give people a guideline as to should they have an issue or should they have a positive life experience. I'm pregnant, or all those really exciting things. I'm going to be a dad. They know that they're looked after. And I think when you go into a company and you're new, it's just good to see that you've got your stuff together and people know where to go. But then after that, it's all the great things that make people want to stay in an organization. So, am I growing my career? Am I learning? Some people don't want to grow, they don't want to get promoted, but that growth in a job, new projects, new experiences are really important to people. So I think the more you can provide from that growth and development perspective, the better. And then really key nowadays, as always should be, is things like well-being. How are you looking after people, ensuring they're not overworked, ensuring they're not getting to burnout, ensuring that they've got good management structures in place that they can say and feel really psychologically safe to say, I've got a problem. And that could be with my job, it could be something I've got going on at home, or just something I'm feeling with regards to my mental health, that you can go to your manager or anyone in that business and you know you're going to be supported. And I think that's the bit that scares a lot of employers because they don't quite know how to have those conversations. So having really well-trained managers that when someone comes to you and says, I'm struggling, they know how to handle that. And managers aren't there to fix people. They're there to offer support and signpost to the right, maybe an external provider. But I think a lot of managers panic because they don't quite know what to do. Whereas if you broke your leg, your manager wouldn't try and fix it. They'd send you to a hospital. So with things like mental health, it's a similar sort of process. So it's all those great things that you can have in the background that employees don't necessarily need every day, but they know they're there should they need them. And I'm really passionate about psychological safety and creating that right environment that people can thrive in.
Absolutely. What's your take on this, Benley?
Well, of course, I'm fully on board with everything that Nikki is saying there. I take a slightly broader view around the well-being piece in the workplace because, as I said at the beginning, my work's informed by positive psychology. The principle really behind that is to move people from a place of functioning to thriving. And by doing so, as you move along that spectrum of functioning to thriving, you automatically start building the resilience skills that you need to navigate life. So for me, there's a broader picture with well-being itself. And I would encourage employers to try and look beyond physical and mental and start looking at the emotional, start looking at the financial, et cetera, et cetera. So there are actually eight dimensions to well-being in the field that I work with. And so one of the tools that I use with everyone I work with is we start there and look at the holistic or integrated, as I like to call it, because there is an association of holistic sounding slightly esoteric or woo-woo, but actually, if you look at it as being integrated and all working synergistically, you get a much better understanding of how you can take ownership for your own well-being because you cannot expect your employer to take care of all of that for obvious reasons.
No, absolutely. And just in terms of that balance, because I think that a lot of organizations will want their staff to perform high or be high performing people, but actually a lot of individuals will want to be really great at their job. And I think that there is always a risk, isn't there, that our teams do too much. Of course there is. How do you balance burnout, well-being, performance? How do you balance those three spheres? And I'm sure there are other spheres we could talk about. I'll start with you, Nikki.
Yeah, and that's, I think, where a lot of people struggle, and it isn't easy. And every single individual is different, and they will have different thresholds. If you think purely about stress, and if you say, today I'm feeling on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm feeling a six. Mel could be experiencing the exact same things as me in life and work, and for her, it's an eight or a four. So everyone has different sort of thresholds. When you're in a workplace, it's really difficult. But I think what people could do more of is going, okay, this is the team I have. Everyone's working, let's just say 40 hours a week for a round number. What is truly achievable in those 40 hours? And you will always get freak weeks where, in a retail business, you're coming up to Black Friday, for example. Those are going to be like crazy weeks. So you sort of take that as sort of given. But generally, on a normal week by week basis, what is doable in that time? And almost build your organization around what is achievable, which is difficult. Everyone, I know businesses at the moment, everyone's under cost pressures, but there's also then, I think I did a LinkedIn post about it yesterday, there's a lot of waste. There's people producing reports that people never read. There's people doing things using 20 steps when they could use three. So really stepping back and going, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? How are we doing it? Can have a real impact. And then people can see that they're being heard and going, I can't do all this in that time I have. But like with any business, it's about taking that time to step back, which is really hard to do when you're in the thick of it. And that is when things like burnout kick in, because you don't see it creeping up on you.
No, absolutely. You know, really interesting point. And just in terms of, there may be a factor in terms of leading from the front. So Melanie, what's your take in terms of as a business leader or as a business owner, how do you look after your own well-being and your own time management and your own what can you achieve?
And that's a really great question, because whilst, you know, as employees, we're working within an organisation and we like to think, and hopefully there are a lot of great employees out there that are well-informed around what being a real human looks like, okay? And to expect that at times we're not going to be functioning as effectively as possible. I also believe that we literally have the tools ourselves to be able to take responsibility for that part of our life in terms of the workplace. So I always advise and encourage everyone that I'm working with, we look within first before we start looking with at the outside. And when you start looking within, what you actually get is you can get people to reconnect with their energy, you can get people to refocus, and then you can get people to actually reconnect with that inner strength that we automatically have, which we've used already in our life, but we tend to forget how we've overcome obstacles, because we then look at the next obstacle and feel overwhelmed again. So for me, it's the education piece again, not just the education around organizations or businesses or SMEs, but more so around our employees as well. And when you get the sweet spot of those two functioning, you can actually really create, well, a real sense of growth for the business and the humans in that business.
Nikki, one of the things you touched on earlier in the show was very much around guidelines and expectations recording that. How do you decide with an employer, or how do you work with your clients in terms of deciding what should be those expectations and what should be these guidelines? And I appreciate, again, there isn't a one size fits all, but maybe give our listeners some things to consider.
Yeah, it's, like I say, there is no one size fits all when it comes to those sort of basic foundations. There are things that you have to do, obviously, but the conversation is really then around, you know, what is the type of employer you want to be? You know, so when you're trying to attract employees, which is hard to do nowadays, people have choice and they have really high expectations about how they want to be treated, as they should do. So it's really about giving that great impression. So even your basics, such as policies, if all you've got are the two legal policies, which is a disciplinary and grievance policy, they're the negative ones, right? So, you know, you want to see that, yeah, if I am going to start a family, I'm supported. They do have a policy around mental health or menopause or these things that, you know, everyone sort of sniggers about a little bit, but actually they affect employees on a day-to-day basis. And if you're having open, transparent conversations, or you know that your employer's willing to when you go in, I think that just creates a really good first impression. So it seems like a lot of paperwork, and it is, but isn't it great to walk into a business and know that whatever happens in your life, you're supported? You know, even if the worst happens and you lose a family member, you know, if you've got that crappy bereavement policy that states you can only have a day off and they literally list family members, and it's like, but my best friend might be my family, my dog might be my family, you know, and people laugh at that one, but it's everyone has different versions of family and different people who mean things to them. So, you know, that policy that's a bit more open-minded, that says we've got you in these situations, is really, really important. And I think if you're going into interview for someone like that versus someone who's got absolutely nothing, you just start to get a feel of the sort of organization you're going into and the leaders behind that.
Absolutely. For me, I think one of the most simple things in business is about creating a win-win. And actually, I think if there's anything in business where there is a loser, and I appreciate I'm making it sound very simple, somebody is going to lose, and there's not going to be longevity in that relationship. Melanie, what's your take on this piece?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm fully on board with everything that Nikki's saying there. And in my previous role, there was a lack of any policy in there when we first started, and it wasn't a new business. But it's the humanness that tends to get forgotten with it, because it's the desire to stay in business that takes over everything. So it's easy for us to forget that our employees are human, and like the owners, they have the same human needs. In a larger business, corporate, much of the well-being is taken care of anyway because they have those systems and structures in place. It's the challenges in the SMEs or the solopreneurs, entrepreneurs who are working alone, because they don't have time to stop and pause and think, oh, let me do a well-being check-in on myself right now, because it's like, where am I going next? And then you add in another layer of that, which is the the divergent brains. And you're bringing a whole set of complex issues into the workplace as well. The thing is, we are human and we all have our unique set of talents. So it'd be so much more effective if we sat with that human and found out what made them thrive and then work to those strengths more effectively. We would automatically reduce a lot of the stress that leads to, what is an essentially, an occupational phenomenon of burnout, which you could be argued it's a crisis.
No, really, really, really interesting. Nikki, I'm sure you're going to have some points to go on that, but before you make those points, you need to be a DJ for a moment. It's your song. It's your song and your chance to get behind a microphone. What's your song choice and why did you pick it?
I was talking to Mel about this before the show. This is my real happy, guilty pleasure place, but I love No Diggity by Blackstreet. If anything's going to get me on the dance floor, drunk or sober, it is this. It just like brings back my youth. So, my favorite.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch Podcast, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Build relationships with the ultimate goal of growing your business. obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that real enthusiastic song choice chosen by Nikki, we've been speaking to Menley and Nikki really about burnout and about people and really how to look after our people. And I think Menley was making a really great point before the break. Nikki, what's your take there?
Yeah, I was gonna like really echo what Mel said around like almost playing to people's strengths. We've got this tradition, if you like, for want of a better word, of when we're talking to our employees and doing reviews, and when we talk about development, it's always what are your weaknesses, how are we going to improve them, which is great, but I might not want to, then probably my weaknesses for a reason. But when you focus on strengths and go, what is Mel absolutely amazing at these three things? So how do we nurture those things and how do we grow? Because everyone's happier when they're working in something that brings them joy, not necessarily working on something that they really dislike doing. So if everyone played to strengths and talked about what gives me that buzz, what am I brilliant at, I think we'd get a lot more out of people without that sort of feeling that we all get when we think about things that we don't like to do.
No, absolutely. Do you know what? One of the most successful things we've ever done in our own business, and we've done it with a number of clients, is ask your team to write their own job description, highlight what they believe has the highest value to the business, what they believe they enjoy the most, what they believe has the lowest value, and what they enjoy the least. And actually, it's then really, really easy to focus on, do you know what's high value and enjoyable? And actually, if you can build a role around that, you're going to have really engaged, effective people that are having a great impact on the business. Just in terms of, I think we've gone around the point of burnout a little bit, and I think it's time to bring the big word in. A big question, and I'm gonna come to you first, Mel, if that's okay. What is burnout, and how do you know if you've got burnout? So let's not talk about solving it and working on it, but let's purely talk about what is burnout and how do you know if you've got it?
This is something that's really quite emotional for me, because not wanting to sound too dramatic, but I am classed as a burnout survivor. So if you ask me now what burnout looks like, I can clearly tell you the steps that led me to a very serious accident that took me out of a business for 3 months, where I fell downstairs and broke pretty much the left-hand side of my body, arm, pelvis, hip socket, facial injuries. And I didn't know that was burnout. It was survival. The business was in a very chaotic place. It had relocated, we had opened, we didn't have customers. It's, where's the customers? We had people in positions. I needed to keep them in position. So I was ignoring the signs of actually what was going on. But essentially, lack of, well, basically just a fog head is how I describe it. Like a ship that had sailed into never ending fog. But I didn't see that at the time. A lot of chaotic, frenetic energy. This, gotta keep going, gotta keep going, gotta keep going. And completely refusing to listen to actually what my internal systems were telling me. And to compensate for that, because I didn't feel great in the workplace, I was then going out at weekends and adding on extra stressors by numbing on alcohol and partying and woohoo, look at me, I'm having a great time. Well, actually inside, I was fundamentally quite broken. And then the universe solved that for me by throwing me down the stairs one evening when I simply got up to use the bathroom, and instead of walking back into my bedroom, I walked off to the top of the stairs. So it was difficult to see immediately after because of the head injury, but now I can clearly see what the steps were. And the point for me, we need to get in the interventions before they get to the point of burnout. Burnout is what happens. It's the overwhelm that we need to spot and work with to mitigate against them, you know, a human really experiencing what I experienced. And apparently it is very, very common. So Nikki and I, our desire is to stop it, you know, by raising awareness of what it looks like. And I just want to add on that, because I'm sure we'll cover this in more detail, but ADHD, people with ADHD, which I now have recognized I have, like, we mask that very differently as well. So it's not a one size fits all in terms of symptoms.
No, really, really interesting. And Nikki, just in terms of those, I guess, signs or some of the things that could lead to burnout, and I know Menly kindly touched on that, but what are some of the things to potentially look out for, and what are some of the things that some of our listeners may be doing in their businesses and work lives that could, in however many weeks or months or years, could lead to really bad challenge.
Yeah. It's really, I mean, Mel's alluded, it's very difficult. So as Mel said, if you're in burnout, you're unlikely to see it. So there's part of it is sort of relying on those people around you. So the World Health Organization defines it as chronic stress that has been unmanaged for a long period of time. So this isn't, I've had a hard week, I've even had a hard month. It's months and months and months unmanaged stress that builds. So you will get into a cycle of, and this is where it will sort of come out at work. It tends to be, it can happen to anyone, but it does tend to be those high achievers who are pushing and pushing. Just see your employees doing more and more and more. And it almost comes out in that sort of competitive, if they think they're busy, look at this, you know, and it's almost like that sort of, competitive nature that sort of takes in and goes, I'll show you if you're doing 40 hours, doing 50 hours. And so it can just sort of creep up on you. And what you will really find in burnout, and I think Mel, you've probably seen this, is it's that loss of sense of self. So you almost, turn into a different person to cope, to mask, and to keep pushing through. And where it becomes really difficult is it could come out in things like irritability, could be anxious, you could have emotional outbursts, but there's also lots of physical signs, which can obviously be misdiagnosed as 30, 40 other things. And ironically, it's not recognised as a health condition, burnout. So apparently doctors can't be saying you've got burnout. It's not recognised. So it's really, really difficult. I think you could, it's hard, but you're almost relying on those people around you to say, Mel, you're not being yourself. And that's hard.
Yeah, interesting. Well, what's your take, Melanie?
Well, yeah, Nikki's saying everything that people were saying to me at the time that I was just ignoring, because I was just like fixed on making sure that we didn't like fail in this business. You know, the responsibility that we take on, not everybody I know, but a lot of people take on for their employees, you know, that's great. We want to see that in the workplace, but it's also being able to balance it with where it's then starting to impact on your personal well-being. Yeah. And I think, you know, there is, again, and I harp on a lot about education, but if we can start talking about this earlier and maybe even at schools. And the reason why I feel that that's important is, you know, the younger generation are the ones that start businesses nowadays, more so than the older generation. And they haven't experienced what life is like in working for a corporate necessarily, who have the frameworks in place to take care of employees in a different way. And again, that desire to be able to make money overwhelms you. So when Nikki was explaining it, I could actually feel, I could feel some of what I was feeling at the time within me, because it takes such a long time to heal. And I actually had my accident in 2018, but I can still feel now, running my own business, there are moments when I'm starting to move into feeling overwhelmed. How do I know this? I open up my computer and I look at my email box and I start writing an email, and then I distract myself on my phone. And then I go back to the email and another email's landed. So I've replied to that email. And the next day I open up my emails and I've got about 35 drafts and one email sent because my brain is doing this. And on top of that, again, I bring in the ADHD symptoms that I have that elevate those symptoms as well, you know, so you're adding pressure onto that all the time. And just a few statistics, I think it's really important that we get some statistics into this. A report that was done by Mental Health UK and YouGov, it was a burnout report 2025, it's available for people to read. It actually said that 91% of UK adults experience high levels of stress, which brings back to Nikki's point around it starts with stress. And then 21% of those needed time off work to deal with that stress. And then we go into neurodivergent brains, and 50 to 20% of the UK is neurodivergent. And those people are more likely to start their own businesses because their brains can't really deal with working in the structures of organizations. So they opt for self-employment. But if you then add in that they are more susceptible as well, you know, we have to start having more conversations in the public about addressing this on a systemic level and not just being a sticking plaster approach when you think, oh, someone's a bit stressed. It goes far deeper than that.
No, absolutely. One of the things I think you've both touched on is small business owners. And I think that one of the amazing benefits of running your own small business is you make the rules, right? But one of the massive downsides is within a corporate life, you would have an occupational health team, you'd have a HR team, you would have structure, as Nikki was really, really building on. But within a small business, it's very, very easy to have this exciting inquiry come through and think, oh gosh, I really want that. I'm just going to spend that little bit longer on that proposal, or see this award that you can go for and think, do you know what, that'd be so good to be stood on the stage. And do you know what, we're smiling because I think it's so exciting running a small business, isn't it? But there will always be something else you can do. So how can you build in that self-discipline as a small business leader to be able to really enjoy the massive benefits of running a small business in terms of that entrepreneurial side and that excitement, but still looking after your own well-being at the same time? So again, big question, but should we go to you, Nikki, if that's okay?
So when you know the answer, can you let me know? it's hard because you do start alone, and
of course you know,
I'm a real people person, and so I think you could say self-management, but you know, realistically, that's really hard. For me, it's been about, I could just talk from personal experience running my business, it's been about my network. So I started, you know, when I started my business, I reached out to my current network just to sort of spread the word. But since then, I've really built great relationships through networking groups. That's led to me being introduced to people such as Mel. That was literally just someone from my networking group going, "You're two brilliant women. I think you should go for a coffee." You know, nothing more than that. But now I know that I can pick up the phone to Mel if I'm struggling and she's there. And that comes, you know, and other people in my network similarly so. And you know that everyone's got different strengths, and I can reach out for advice and I get some really lovely support and some great answers. So even though you are running a business potentially by yourself, there are groups of people out there if you want to connect. It's all about, we all crave and we all need, even the introverts, we all need that sort of human connection. So I would just say, as much as you can, build that network. And I know the word networking is a rubbish one to a lot of people, but it really, if you find the right groups for you and the right people and gravitate towards people that again bring you joy and bring you support, you can actually build a really good support network that can sort of help you manage yourself, if you like, or at least be there when you know you need a chat and a good coffee or whatever, something stronger.
Exactly that, exactly that. And I think that Melanie, you touched on stats earlier, so I'm going to bring quite a negative stat if that's okay. So the 95% of businesses don't make it to 10 years, and the logic behind that is the vast majority of those 95 are going to be struggling in some way. Of course, there's always the businesses who do really well, and the owner chooses to exit for good reason. But I think if you combine that with, and now I'm going to go on to males, what I think one of the biggest stats that's really scared me through 230 of these shows is, as a male micro business owner, you're more likely to commit suicide than any other category, including homeless, which is incredibly scary. And if we look at those stats, there will absolutely be times where, as a small business owner, you have just got to, if we go back to that 95%, you've just got to, if we look at your story, really, really fight. The business is struggling, or the business has got challenges. You're trying to pay your staff, you're trying to do these things, and actually, you just need to graft. So, in that scenario, I think that the brains and the experts on this call, you know, we would absolutely say, yourself is will always be more important than the business. But if you are in that scenario where, and our listeners at home are in that scenario where they feel, do you know what, I've got that thing I've just got to do, otherwise we can't pay payroll. What are some of the techniques they should consider in that very short term scenario where burnout is incredibly possible?
I think it's really important point then that you've mentioned about gender, because there is a gender difference around how we deal with our emotions. So in my lovely networking group the other week, one of our members was stood up and he was presenting on his business, and he was talking about the stress at certain levels in the process that he does. And I asked him the question, who's looking after your well-being? You're looking after the well-being of your customers as you're taking them through the journey. And immediately I got this, "Oh, well, you know, it's about them." And I said, "Yeah, I'm going to ask you this question again. Who's looking after your well-being? What do you do for yourself?" And he said, "Oh, I go running." But I could see there was a real reluctance to tap into this recognition that vulnerability is a strength, it is not a weakness. And as leaders, we should be able to demonstrate vulnerability to other humans, because that allows other humans to then feel safe, coming back to the concept of psychological safety, to show their vulnerability. So first of all, as Nikki said, your tribe is your vibe. Someone in your network, have someone as your buddy, have somebody as your well-being buddy. It doesn't need to be all bells and whistles and make a fanfare about it. It could just be a mutual arrangement. I'm checking in on you and you checking in on me. If you then want to start looking at evidence-based practices that people can do, of course, there's so much that we can do for our own personal well-being, but not all protocols work for everybody. So mindfulness is something that's been proven to show across a number of areas to be highly effective to help with our personal well-being. But not everybody can sit there and get mindful because of busy brains. So it's working out what do, again, go in, What is it that I need? Get in touch with what's really going on internally, and then find something. And that could just be going into your field or your garden and screaming at the top of your voice and like letting it go, or dancing like nobody's watching, because that shifts stress out of your body as well, you see. But again, when are we going to start teaching this in schools so that is embedded into our psyche as much as it is in how to do algebra? Not that I ever mastered that anyway. That's my weakness, Nikki. That's my weakness.
Feel you.
Yeah, it's developing your toolkit.
Amazing, amazing. It's always a family debate every Christmas. Myself and my wife's dad always talk about algebra was such a good part of maths, and we're obsessed with it. And every single one of them just look at us and just say we're so boring. So hopefully my wife's not listening right now. But anyway, on that bombshell, time for a song, and we'll continue the conversation after this.
This is the Business Brunch Podcast from Get Radio. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, hopefully you're really enjoying the conversation, as I certainly am. It's been really interesting to discuss burnout, how to look after ourselves, how to look after our teams. And I'm keen now to talk about your own story, if that's okay, Mel, in terms of that bouncing back. So if we look at 2018 and now we look to now, and I'm sure Nikki will have some great ideas. So you've been through burnout. How do you, in your own words, become a burnout survivor, which is something you touched on right at the start of the show?
Well, I probably had to hold up that mirror and go, Mel, you're your own worst enemy here. So you need to start becoming your best friend, because you're going out and you're talking about all of these well-being protocols and you're completely ignoring it for yourself. So start, you know, living what you're saying. And I learned a number of things, like emotional freedom technique helps me more so than using mindfulness, because it involves your sensory of touch, verbal, and so on and so forth. And I'm not going to go into a tapping routine right now. And it doesn't include tap shoes, by the way, it's finger work. But that, for me, you can find people on the internet that run tapping and you can get involved in that. But fundamentally, it is recognizing that, am I in a healthy position in terms of not just getting up in the morning, but where I'm existing in the world, i.e. the workplace? And I left the workplace, which is extreme. However, I think if I'd have stayed, burnout would have been a pattern for me, because I'm my own worst enemy in recognizing it. So again, network for me, finding people, and I didn't have a network then, and I love my network now. And thank you, Nikki, for being so gracious. The feeling is mutual. I ring you, you ring me, and we do that little check-in, yeah? And that is so important. So again, I'm probably going off on a tangent here, but it's finding what works for you, but talk to people first. Don't be frightened to open up about how you feel.
Amazing, amazing. And Nikki, I'm keen to bring the conversation to businesses, because we've spoken about burnout and we've also spoken about culture and processes. And if somebody's listening now and they are one of the businesses who think, do you know what, we do have a maybe not a great culture, we don't really have great terms in place, we don't really have a great way to look after ourselves, but they're an established business, what are the steps to change? Because of course you can't completely change a business in a conversation or in an answer on the radio, but what's the first step? What are some of the things to consider?
Call me.
Easy. Problem solved.
Jonathan. I think it's interesting because the biggest cause of burnout is toxic workplaces. So, and I think no one likes to believe that theirs is toxic. Toxic's a very strong word. But if you just step back sometimes and think about your environment, there are many businesses I've seen, I've worked for them, that talk about flexibility, that talk about well-being, that talk about all these brilliant, lovely words. And then someone goes off sick with stress and they go, oh, they're off with stress again. How do we get rid of them? Or, oh, someone's put in a flexible working request, but this job is full time, you know, and really quickly, and they don't know they're doing it. And it's probably because they're, you know, they're working, they've got high workloads themselves. But the first thing a lot of businesses do is jump to that negative rather than, oh my God, that person's off with stress. What can we do to support? How can we make sure that we are doing everything we can to bring them back? And almost a bit like Mal said, looking inwardly, have we done anything here? And I'm not saying all stress is caused by workplaces. It's not. Or when we get a flexible working request, instead of, nope, you know, it's actually, how can we do this job differently to help? Because this could be your best employee. And if they want to work 3 days instead of five because of whatever reason they like, it doesn't have to be a care. I think people think it's because you're a parent or because you've got caring responsibilities. Yeah. You might just want to go to the gym every morning at a certain time and look after yourself. And I think the more we can stop looking at these things as a negative thing and see it as a positive, because there are great employees out there working part-time roles, or there are people who have to take lesser roles because there aren't many part-time jobs out there. But if you can get great people, you know, do a job share, you know, all these things that can support, which means you get great people, they're engaged because you've helped them be flexible in their lives rather than, oh my God, which people are doing. So it, sometimes it is that hold a mirror up. How are we truly treating people? And are we, you know, if there's a toxic manager, what are you really doing about it? Not just going, oh, that's Dave. it's just what he does. And I think that happens a lot. So sometimes that's where someone like me can come in and be like that external person that can come in and see it with fresh eyes. I think that can really, really help.
No, absolutely. Well, what's your take on this, Melanie?
Well, I think there are some clues in some leaders in businesses when you hear phrases like, have we made any money today? Run, you know, because that happens. I think we have to be fair to, you know, different businesses as well. And if we look at the charitable sector, for example, and the work that they're trying to do, particularly when it comes to social and environmental causes, the mental load for them is somewhat elevated automatically because of what they exist to do. So again, those charities may be fixing societal problems, but they're not necessarily looking after their people either. And it just, for me, comes back to having the conversations. There's always going to be businesses that are just going to want to chase the money. That's what they do. And that's, you know, that's all they care about. And that's all the owners care about. But I think you'll start to see that those will be the businesses that start to fail more, because as we become more informed about ourselves and our personal needs, and that's my job and Nikki's job, to go out there and do stuff, you know, encourage people to do stuff for themselves, you'll start to see the businesses, the progressive businesses like yours, Ben, because whenever you talk about your business, I honestly, I get a joy. My little heart does a little leap of joy because it's so warm, it's so engaging, it's so supportive. And there are other businesses like yours out there too. And I'm lucky that I have a couple of clients like that. And they're an absolute joy to go in and work for as well, because you see the dividends in how people in those businesses perform. It feels good. The energy's good, people are happy, they're connected, they're producing results, performance goes through the roof. Why would you not want to do that? Why would you not want your business to function like that?
No, really, really interesting points. I can't believe we're coming to the end of the show. You've both made such great points, and hopefully our listeners listening at home and in their offices have got a notepad full of notes. But one of the things I do love to do on the show, and it may just be to highlight something we've discussed already, but it's just to leave our listeners with just one thing to remember in form of a top tip. So if we were to leave our guests with one thing to remember, whether it be something I've not asked you about or whether it be something that we've covered already and they should highlight in their notepad, what would be your last tip, Nikki?
I would say to act before it's too late. So if you are starting to feel overwhelmed, I think that's the sort of buzzword here, to act before it becomes that chronic stress. So me and Mel are running a workshop, a masterclass on burnout, probably around prevention. What happens in burnout, what's going on in the brain that means you keep repeating behaviors, what does good stress and bad stress look like. Mel's going to cover off her lived experience, those resilience tools that she's referred to. And I think if you are starting to feel that overwhelm, come along, we'll fill your morning full of hopefully more of the same of the sort of things we've been talking about, and hopefully spread that awareness and help people act before, you know, a bit like Mel, you fall down the stairs literally. So that is on the 24th of September in Cirencester. So follow us on LinkedIn and you'll find it.
Just amazing. This is why people live in bungalows.
Amazing, amazing. And last but certainly not least, to end the show, what's your top tip now?
Well, I love a mantra, a personal mantra, and I have a few, but one that I really love, which is a quote by an actual author, which is, she stood in the storm, and when the wind did not blow her away, she adjusted her sails. And I really love that because it makes me feel like no matter what's coming, we can adjust ourselves to cope with it. And we haven't come this far to only come this far. So keep going. Use your network, because there is so much out there to be joyful about. And tapping into the joy helps us build the resilience to cope with the darker times.
Amazing, amazing, great advice. But that is the end of the show. So thank you so much, you both, for joining me this morning and for sharing such honest insight with our listeners, which I'm sure will impact so many of them in such a positive way. So thank you for that. Just a reminder to you, the listener, you can listen to this radio show every Sunday on the radio and online at 11 a.m. And also, if you prefer podcast to radio, you can listen to the podcast version, which is available on every major podcast platform and is released on the Monday morning. And if you would like to see my lovely guests, and do look out for the video version, which is released on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for whatever you're doing this weekend in Oxfordshire, enjoy, look after yourself, and we'll see you next week.